May we be receptive. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord. We just ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sue. Actually, I've got a confession to make. I'm not going to preach a long lecture today for a sermon. I'm going to ask you to do a little contributing as well. So we're probably going to need this microphone and ask you to have a little think and a chat around your tables. Because I think that actually the sort of church that we heard about in that second reading is a church where everybody contributes and everybody joins in. So today, please play your part, because I need you and God needs you. In the Old Testament, they had men of God, prophets, who would declare, "This is the word of the Lord." But in the New Testament, it's the people of God together who hear from God. So what we want to do this morning is think about what kind of church are we going to be here at St. Andrew's in the coming year or so. We're doing this because through February and March, we've been going through a sort of vision process. We had a vision morning on the 28th of February and so on, when we were thinking, what do we mean by church? What's it all about? And what image would you choose to describe St. Andrew's? We looked at Ephesians chapters 1 to 4 and so on. And one of the things that we learned was that church is not primarily the building, the stones and the bricks and so on. Nor is it actually what you often hear about in the media, on television and so on, where the journalists say, well, the church has decided this, or the archbishop said that. It's not primarily the human institution with all its sort of structures in London and elsewhere. The church really is us, the people of God, the family of the church. Now, maybe you know the folk who you're sitting next to on your table. Maybe there are some behind you or on your left or right that you don't know. So why not, just to start with, for a minute or so, why not hop up and go and greet somebody that you haven't met before, and go and say hi and go and say welcome to the church. Why not? Just have a little move around just for a minute or so and say hi and welcome to somebody that you don't know. Why not? Sue, would you be willing to carry the microphone around for me when folk want to contribute something? That would be lovely. It's on, just hold it right under people's. Thank you. Lovely. Thank you. Welcome, Alison. We've met you before, I know. Thank you. Jane, would you put up the vision statement? First one, that's lovely, thank you. Brilliant. Give it a go, why not? Love the Lord, build up the people, spread the word, and serve the world. Have a seat and we'll just think about that for a moment. Thank you, Jack, for turning me up. I feel like a teacher on the first day of term, having to get the children under control. Have a seat, folks. Lovely. Okay. Can I just start by thinking for a moment where we are as a church? The statement up on the screen there is our church vision statement. We've had that for several years now. I'm not quite sure how many. Probably about 10, I should think. That's a rough shot, isn't it? 20, says Julie. Julie goes back away. And there's nothing wrong with that statement, is there? Love the Lord, build up the people, spread the word, serve the world. It all makes sense, and it describes the work of the church, doesn't it? But I think we've been through a bit as a church in the past year, in the past 6 months or so. We had our mission, as you know, a year ago in May, and that was a great success with the team from TFM and Two Rivers Mission. But I think our basic place as a church is that we've suffered a few traumas in the past few months, past 6 months or so. And for a while now, I think we've felt the need to focus on loving one another and on rebuilding our fellowship together. Hence the choice of readings that I chose from John's Gospel and indeed from Acts, and the reading that Sue read out to us from 1 Corinthians. But I think we can also dream a little, can't we? What kind of a church do we want to be in the future? But let's just spend a moment, if we can, on our tables, in our groups, thinking of that first reading from John's Gospel, chapter 13, where Jesus tells his disciples that he's going, he won't be with them anymore, and he gives them a command, a new commandment I give to you, to love one another as I have loved you. So I thought we could just think for a moment, how can we do that in practice? How can we love one another? How can we build up our fellowship together? How can we strengthen relationships? You've just done a little bit of that by going and talking to folks, perhaps that you don't know that well. But if you're struggling to think, well, how might I do that in practice? Put yourself in the shoes of a person, if you like, who's new, who's perhaps not feeling very welcome. How would you like to be loved? How would you like to be welcomed? How would you like to be included? And then, of course, that's something we can do for others. So have a chat for a moment and think to yourself, how can we, as a church, obey Jesus' command to love one another? Have a chat around your tables, and then we'll pull it together in a couple of minutes' time. Is it coming together? Sue's going to run up and down with a microphone. Has anybody got any ideas? How can we love one another better in the church? How can we actually love each other? Don't turn it off, Sue, for heaven's sake. Some good ideas. Vaughan. Let's have a listen for a moment. Talk to Jack. It's not coming through. Is there a red light on the bottom?
No.
No. Okay.
Oh, let's spin it.
Yep.
I think I ought to hear something.
Press the button. No, it is on. So that should be working, yep.
One experience that Joe and I had recently was when we went to bury, we wanted to inter Simon's ashes, and we have always holidayed at a church in Essex in Rabness. Mm. And we thought that we'd like to have the interment immediately after the Sunday service, so that anybody that could wanted to come to the service could. But when we got there, we found that they had rearranged the service so that the interment of the ashes was actually part of the service. We felt very comfortable there. About half the people in the congregation came up and spoke to us. and we really felt very comfortable.
Thank you, Vaughan. So people coming up and speaking to you and including what's your concern actually in the worship. Lovely. Can I say how much I appreciate our sidesmen who welcome people at the door as they come in, and it's the first face you see, isn't it? The first smile, the first handshake, the welcome, which is important. Any other good ideas? Wave a hand and my lovely assistant will dash down to you. Any good ideas? How can we love one another and welcome people? Eileen's got one. There we go. Gosh, she's quick. Look at that.
And I just think that we need to get in the habit of being really truthful to people. When you come in the morning and you say, how are you? And they say, oh, I'm fine. They need to, not really fine, they really say it so that we're able to get alongside and talk with them. I'm going to be funny here, but I came in not feeling fine this morning because Lewis Hamilton came second. And that's just well, it will take a time. It's so easy, isn't it, just to say I'm all right and. And then if you don't know where people are hurting, you can't get alongside them and be a real close friend to them.
I was going to add, you know what fine means, so perhaps if somebody says, yes, I'm fine, you could ask them, which part of fine? Is it F for frantic, I for insane, N for neurotic, or E for emotional?
Good, thank you. Thank you, Eileen and Jane. Yes, be honest with each other. Do you want the polite answer or the honest answer? You know, yeah, okay. How are you feeling? Any other ideas? How can we love people? We can welcome them, we can be honest with one another. Yeah. Any other bright ideas? Okay.
Something which we discussed on our table here is inviting people in. Yes, it's great to invite people in, but what are they going to find when they get here? Mm. And so I think the agreement on our table was that we need to make sure that we are all living in harmony, because if they come in and find that this place is looking like schoolyard on a bad day, it's not going to really encourage them to come back or to want to be a part of this family. So we need to make sure that as a family we are functional. Mm.
Thank you, Christopher. Okay, and Andrew's got one. Good, thank you.
I think it's listening to people, listening to what their body language is saying, listening to what they're not saying when they're talking to you. It's the gaps in their speaking, when you know where they've got hidden emotions, which they don't feel able to share. So it's just being empathetic with where they're really at.
Mm. That's very similar to what Eileen was saying, isn't it? Is finding out really how people are underneath. And often they'll say one thing, but you'll get a different message underneath. Yeah. Thank you. Helen.
You know, we're doing this new... I don't need the mic.
Yes, you do. Yeah. No, please use it. Those with hearing aids can pick it up if you use the mic.
Okay. With this, the new layout that we have, yeah. I think we need to also ask the congregation, is everybody happy with this setup, or do they rather us go back to a normal church with the...
Okay. Who likes this, like this cafe church style? And who prefers it the old way, the traditional way? Okay. Three or four of you. Sorry, that was half and half, was it there, Joe? What? Yeah, it you can't please everybody, to be honest. So we're going to do a bit of each, I think.
Yeah. It's been quite a lot.
Yeah. And on the formal occasions, you know, like Christmas and Easter, obviously, I think we'll have it the traditional way. I sometimes get people who walk into this church and say, oh, it's not like it used to be, you know, or it's not like a traditional church. And what they mean actually is dark oak pews and stone steps everywhere and so on. And it isn't. But there's pros and cons. Yeah.
It's not just that, it's about the reverence of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. We must be careful we don't lose that silence and worshipful attitude. Thank you. That's a fair point. Thank you.
I'd just like to say that I've been coming here 30 years. And when I first came here, I'd lost the sun. And that was the only place I could think where I could possibly be.
Yeah.
I've been here since then. I have tried a couple of churches and always come running back. But when I'm frightened, and I've often been frightened, this is where I find my sanctuary.
Yeah.
And this is the only place, really, I ever feel
safe.
Lovely.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Thank you for saying that. Oh, and Ali's got one. Good.
At work, I work in the petrol station as well at Sainsbury's.
Keep it close to your mouth, Ali. Yeah.
There's sometimes, on the 21st, which was last Missy Church, they'd turn around and said to me, can you do overtime? I went, oh. So I thought, oh, I'm sorry, I'm doing Missy Church. Then I say, anyone got any children could go through Elizabeth or whatever like that? But at least I brought it up about the church, in the even on checkouts, if they say they desperately needed someone in on the 21st. And I said, I didn't want to let you down, but I brought Messy Church up.
Lovely.
And at least I said Messy Church instead of like something else.
Well done.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Can I sort of move our thoughts on a bit? Because when we had our vision morning a month or so ago, we were thinking about the future of the church. Jane, perhaps you put up the next slide, would you? And in a sense, this Acts reading, Act 2, was sort of in our minds. And this is the actual image of the flip chart. I think Christopher's even got the real thing here, where we thought about what is it that's really important for our church. We've mentioned some of these things already. But looking at our old vision statement, we thought, well, actually, the thing that's really important today is having a passion for these things, being a people not who just sort of are rational and unemotional, but to have a passion for Jesus and for people being transformed and being in relationship and so on. And in fact, Hannah, bless her, is she here still? Yay! Hannah did us a little sort of diagram here, a wordle, of most of those words that were on the chart. And I think it's gorgeous, actually. It's a lovely piece of work. Thank you, Hannah. So we'll put that up on our Facebook and web page and so on. But it just gives you some clue of some of the values, if you like, that are important to folk in this church as we were thinking about it all. Think about that reading from Acts as well. About the people who gathered together, having fellowship together, hearing the apostles' teaching, worshipping God, sharing together, sharing their possessions with one another. And I think the question I want us to think about is, how can we actually put that into practice, that vision for this church in the future? Having passion, and particularly focusing on relationships. How might we do that in practice? What are some of the ways that we could put that into practice? So again, would you just buzz a little bit for a couple of minutes in your groups and talk about how we could be that kind of a church? Very sorry. That image on the screen is about some of the things that we thought we would like to be as a church, a people of passion, with a focus on relationships, having a vision for the future, having Jesus at the center of it all. People who are transformed by Jesus. So, if you like, those are some of the values that we want for our church in the future. So the question is, how? How? How can we do that? What are some of the practical ways that we might be that kind of a church? Those kind of people. Are you with me? This might need more than a couple of minutes. It's a little bit of a tricky question, isn't it? How do we actually move things forward? But can I say it's a real help, the discussions you've been having, the ideas you're coming up with. Would anybody like to share any of them? And perhaps Sue can take the microphone to them. Anybody got any bright ideas? Yeah? It's gone off, hasn't it? Yeah. No, it's off.
I haven't touched it.
No, just gone off. Take it to the back, first of all, would you?
Can you hear me?
Oh, it works, yeah. That's good.
I suspect I'm being very oversimplistic here, so bear with me. But a thought came to mind. And for those who don't know, if you're wondering why I'm looking up there, there's a little screen up there so I can see what's on the screen without turning away from you. We all need to buy into each and every one of those words. It's no good saying, oh, I'll leave it up to him or her or them or whatever. We need to buy into every one of those. And I suddenly can't remember, correct me guys, I suddenly can't remember the Bible passage which talks about parts of the body. The hands do what the hands do, the feet do what the feet do, the heart does what the heart does. But they don't work independently, they all work as one, totally and absolutely, which is why I'm able to walk up and down and do whatever I do. If the hand did something differently, I don't function. And it seems to me that, and again I say, I suspect I'm being oversimplistic here, that it only works with everyone working as one. Sure, you know, I upset people from time to time. I know that that's the fact. And I'm sure some of you upset me from time to time. But so what? Well, we've just got to live with that. But we need to buy in each one to every one of those words.
Thank you, John. Sue. Thank you very much, John. Being like the body, all playing our part. Any other ideas? Put a hand up. And Sue will come with a microphone. How can we be that kind of a church? Be brave, come on.
Strikes me that we may not know how to do it, but if we're passionate about it, then we'll find a way to do it.
Yeah.
So how can we find a way? How can we bridge the gap between where we are and where someone else is?
That's one way.
And we were, again, just on our table, we were just talking. And
I think it keys into something that Eileen was saying about being truthful. Telling, you know, when somebody says, how are you? Well, actually, you would really want to know, I'm feeling rubbish today because. Yeah. But it's also, how do we meet practical needs? Because I think as Christians, that's one way we can really stand out, is by meeting people's practical needs. Because if we're passionate, we'll want to do that. Because if we can help to meet their everyday practical needs, then people are going to think, why are they doing that? And so while they may not initially want to talk about faith, we'll get them to talk about faith. So maybe we ask a neighbour, you know, do you need your garden dug? Do you need your grass cut? Do you need some shopping done? Things like that will get people wondering.
Thank you, Christopher. So be passionate. I'm going to add one in as well, because up the top there, sort of in the vertical bit of the diagram, is the name Jesus, isn't it? And obviously, when you're passionate about something or someone. And just occasionally we forget who it is, who's the focus of all this, that it's Jesus. And in all sorts of churches, people occasionally put the focus on, I don't know, food banks or debt centres or marriage counselling. There's all sorts of different things that we do, but in all of the things that we do, we need to remember that it's about Jesus. My wife this morning said, actually, one of the things we can do is start the day with Jesus. Perhaps with a little passage from the Bible, perhaps with a prayer, but ask Jesus to be the focus of what we do today. So if you're wondering what we should be passionate about, Jesus. Jesus. Any other ideas? Anybody else has one? Lovely. Thank you, Sue.
Some really good things shared on this table. These guys are talking about actually relationship and having stuff like this. So you can actually share and do stuff together. So community and community events, they thought were a really good idea. We talked a bit about messy church and actually how joining in together is a really good thing. And then the other thing that came out is actually people can bring what they can bring, and we just need to value people for who they are. So, yeah, we all bring and do what we can do, but we shouldn't judge other people in a way that if they're not doing something, because we all bring and do what we can do. Said better than that, but that was the kind of... Yeah. So just as a community, you love everybody for who they are and what they can bring, whether it's a small thing or seems a small thing or not, or whether they have a huge need or what might seem to be a smaller need. We love everybody, whatever.
Thank you, Bex. It's one of the things that we naturally compare ourselves with others, don't we? And we might either think, well, they're not doing that very well, or they're doing that better than I can, so I don't like them, or whatever. But one of the things that, as John was saying, we're all part of a body in Christ, and we're all part of this family together. And so we should value other people's gifts and abilities. Yeah, thank you, Bex. Very nicely put. Teta.
I think one word that might be missing from that beautiful montage there is the word time. And I know that I've been challenged just recently as to how I spend my time. Yeah. And that's the one thing that we all have the same of. We all are given 24 hours a day. And it's up to us as to how we choose to spend that time. Yeah. And I've just been challenged because we are all very busy, or we all think we're very busy. I think I'm very busy. But actually, it doesn't take too much effort to just to write someone an email or just to pick up the telephone and say, how are you doing? Or do you fancy meeting for a cup of coffee or come over for lunch? Because actually, for so many people, that is such a way of being shown that they are loved, because an awful lot of people, I think, in our community are lonely and spend a lot of time on their own and value just having somebody just to email them and say, how are you doing? And it's something that I've been really challenged about since the new year, is how am I spending my time, and can I actually show people that I value them with my time? Because I think that's probably, and Christopher's always said this to me ever since I've known him, that it's actually one of the most precious things that we can give people is our time.
Thank you, Tessa. And often it doesn't need much time, does it? It just needs to follow your instinct and phone them or email them or write to them. Thank you. Time. Give people time. Yeah. And to be honest, as Teta so rightly said, any of us can do that. It isn't a special skill. We've all got 24 hours, haven't we? So we can. Any of us can give time. Thank you. Any others briefly? Any other contribute? Oh, look, there's a row down here. A queue of them down here. Helen's there. There we go. Yeah.
I think this is going back to Jesus being at the centre. But when I first became a Christian, I knew very much what I was like before and what I was like afterwards. And before, I really wanted to please myself. Not because I wanted to, but there were just things I just didn't want to do. And if it was involved somebody else, well, then that was fair enough. I couldn't see why I should. And it wouldn't be that they were particularly disadvantaged by it, but it was just that I wasn't the person who would step forward to help them. But as a Christian, I became very aware that God had given me grace. And he'd equipped me by his Holy Spirit. And I think I'd like the Holy Spirit to be in that cross as well. Because we're in a on a very different... He's given us these things to enable us to do it. And I found in tiny little things, just by offering somebody a lift that I might not have thought of doing, or by... I can remember walking by somebody's house once and there were these little dogs running around on the road. And at one point I thought, well, that's not any of my business. But it was clear that there was no one around. The gate had been left undone. So I herded all these dogs back into the garden. My thought was, what if someone tells me off because I'm messing around with somebody's house and they may have thought I've let the dogs out? But it was just the blessing that comes from those things for us when we step out and do something for somebody else, because God gives us the grace to do it. And a lot of the time, I know for myself, I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to do that, or I can't, or I haven't got time for that, or it's not my place, somebody else would do it. But God gifts us and graces us and blesses us. And he gives us so much all the time. And every time we step out, then that's when he does it. But it's not in our own strength. And it's taken me years to realise this. And it's still a journey. I'm still realising it because it's not of my nature. But I just wanted to say that.
There's a gift I didn't know Helen had, herding dogs. Thank you. Yeah.
There's one thing that I've found over the years that's really helped me. It's just spending time with God. And that can be just being still and doing nothing. And it kind of really helps develop all that, and also helps develop grace and compassion and breaks your heart too. But it's a really great way of just being still. And if you do that with other people, it's amazing as well. So I think, you know, just being still, seeking God's presence. Yeah.
Thank you, Bex. Some of the children at school are learning how to do that from Bex, which is great. Yeah, brilliant. Right, go for it. Yeah. Yeah.
On a Monday morning, I helped this lady run the shop. She's in a wheelchair, and I help her run the shop to do her shopping. And one young lad come up and said to me, oh, you'll get told to hurry up. You'll get told to hurry up. And I went, what do you mean you'll get told to hurry up? Well, they say, oh, you mustn't be too long with her because of the tills at the checkouts. And I turned around and said, oh, I don't think so. I hope not. I don't get told to be quick with her. One lady said, can you try and be as quick as you can? I turned around and said, well, it's not very good service. There's no time for the lady. I said she likes to go round looking at things. She likes to get a birthday card. I said, I'll do the best I can. And I thought, no, I'm spending time with her. So I spent time with her. And then, but I had an hour with her. When I got back, I said, I'm sorry if I have been long, but they didn't say anything. So I said, okay, I won't bring up no issues or nothing. So I take this lady round on a Monday morning and get her shopping. She has a carer that comes into her home to cook her food. And I think last week I might have made a real difference to her because she loves fish. And she goes, I've never seen the fish counter before. So I took her right round the fish counter and I said, and she goes, I don't know whether my carer would cook it. I said, well, best thing to do is ask your carer to see whether he'd cook it first for you because they only have so much time in the house. So she could, and then she said, I said, I'll ask the lady how long it cooks. And she goes, you can either fry it in a pan for 15 minutes or you can leave it in a bag in the oven for 15 minutes. And she goes, oh, that's not long. So I said, so we went for a wander. And then she goes, can you take us back to the fish counter? And she goes, I'll have some haddock, half a haddock fish or something she'd got. But that was so I spent the time with her. I've taken her around to see. She's never sort of seen the fresh counters before. So I took her right round.
Well done.
And I thought, oh, am I going to get told? Yeah. But I didn't get told. I didn't get told at all. Because at the end of the day, if you're a supermarket, you've got to give that customer value.
Good.
What they, our manager recommends and
things like
that. But yeah, good.
Lovely. Thank you very much. I think that's a fine example, isn't it, of being a Christian out in the workplace and in the world. It's very tempting as a vicar to think that we're about running the church. But actually, I think what's much more important, what a lot of you have said, is that actually it's about being a Christian in the world, at home or in the workplace or in the clubs or whatever. I think we need to move on because time is marching on. But can we just have a moment's quiet and think to yourself, just how could I actually do that? How could I be a representative for Jesus? How could I be God's person in the places where I am? Home, work, clubs, friends. Just have a little think. How could you do that this coming week? Song, I think. Straight to.